Well, the scoreboard said I lost today, but what the scoreboard doesn't say is what it is I have found.
Hello and welcome back to the Tennis Connected Studios for November 11th, 2016. I'm Nima Naderi alongside Parsa Sammy, and we're here this week to preview the ATP World Tour Finals from London, England. This week's podcast is brought to you by Grand Slam Tennis Tours. Make sure to check them out for the upcoming Australian Open for all your traveling needs. Let's introduce this week's co-host, Parsa. How are you today, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Very good. You know, amped up for the last event of the year. The Elite Eight have arrived in London. They've done all their press. They're ready to go. Action gets underway in 2 days' time on Sunday. So it's going to be interesting, Parsa. I mean, we don't necessarily have the names that we've had in the past at this event. The Roger Federers, the Rafael Nadals, even the, you know, the Del Potros, who, you know, have won the U.S. Open and very engaging to the crowd. But, you know, we have obviously eight guys here who, at the end of it all, have deserved to be here. And, you know, we're going to fight it out in the John McEnroe group as well as the Yvonne Lendl group. So it's going to be interesting. Obviously, the concept here is you play round-robin matches, four guys in each group, and the top two guys from each round-robin group move on to the semis and then, you know, play it out, normal elimination format, make the finals, and then we have a champion. So we don't have this elaborate draw that we usually have, Parsa, like in Masters 1000 or a Grand Slam, very watered down here, and you know only four guys in each group. So let's kick it right off with the John McEnroe group, led by the new world number one, Andy Murray. He's going to have to take on the likes of Stan Wawrinka, Kai Nishikori, and Marin Cilic. And then we'll get to the Yvonne Lendl group, which is comprised of Novak Djokovic, Milos Raonic, Gael Monfils, and Dominic Thiem. So heading back to the McEnroe group, do you see, I mean, look, you know, we have to look at it like when Murray hasn't lost a match, I believe, since what? He lost a match in Davis Cup to Del Potro, right? I think that was post-US Open. He lost, obviously, in the US Open to Nishikori. But since then, he's won, like, what, 17, 18 matches. So he's been rolling. He's won four tournaments on the trot. Can anybody stop him here? And particularly, do you see any adversity for him in this section, in this group? I definitely do. And, you know, what are your thoughts overall on this one?
Yeah, I mean, definitely the tougher of the two, right?
Yes.
I mean, you've got to inform, I guess not inform players, but, well, so let's just sort of inform, but
yes.
More about quality years, or quality year, in that each player there sort of potentially could have been in the draw, even if Rafa and Roger and Del Potro were available or had the ranking or whatever it is, were healthy enough to actually be in the draw.
Yes,
you could see that Cilic maybe, you know, somehow would have made it. And Nishikori's been in finals. So it's just won the U.S. Open. Stan Wawrinka's won a couple Grand Slams. Murray is the best player in the world at the moment. So in addition to those guys, you know, I think you got a very, very high quality group. And anything can happen. I mean, Cilic can get hot and can win this entire thing. And that wouldn't shock anybody. The same can be said about Wawrinka, and the same can be said about Nishikori. You know, it's intense. And I think I was telling you off air, even though it's not a good thing to say, but you know, the truth is that every other day when this group is actually on the court, it's going to be real. It's going to be a hot ticket and fun matches to watch, I think.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's saying that for me, I got to look at, it's tough. I mean, all of these guys have proven that they can go deep in majors as well as Masters 1000 events. Same cannot be said necessarily for the other group, where obviously they have, but not to the same extent, I would say. I mean, in this one, you have Murray, who's a three-time slam winner. Same with Stan. Nishikori's made a U.S. Open final and lost that one to Cilic, who was the fourth guy. So, you know, you got three slam champions. In the other group, you only have one. You have, obviously, Djokovic, who's won 12. Milos has made one Wimbledon final. Monfils, zero slam finals. And Team, zero slam finals. So, it's going
to
be
interesting. And not to mention that Milos is hurt, right?
Exactly.
And it may be an alternate that goes in there. So, that, I mean, that group's going to be ridiculously weak.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, moving to the Murray one, I definitely got Murray moving through. No, without a question. I think he's feeling really good. He's just, more than anything, I think he's really confident in his legs and his defensive ability right now around the court. He just feels like, you got to do something really special to hit a winner on me. And he's serving bigger and he's returning well and he's got that confidence. I mean, this to me is going to be a big challenge for him though, right? Because he's coming in playing his first tournament as the world number one player. And in his home, in his backyard. You know what I mean? This is something where, you know, he's sleeping at home for this tournament. So it's like, you know, he's coming in and he's going to have to, you know, really, really put on a show and people are going to be super excited to see him. So in that capacity, it's going to be, I think, stressful. But I think he at least wins two matches to get through if he doesn't go undefeated. Now, the second guy is going to be interesting because all of these guys are top-notch in terms of their results. You know, Nishikori can, I think, get a little bit overpowered here. So, you know, we're talking about the highest level. I might have to X him off my list. You made a good point saying that the court might be a little bit low bouncing for a guy like Stan. But in saying that, a couple of years ago, you know, as I was mentioning Parsa, you know, he made that semis and he lost to Federer and he had some match points. So, I mean, if he can get, hot again, he can definitely do it. But I think with that said, you know, I'm going with Murray and Cilic to make the final two here in their semifinals. So what do you have?
I mean, that's a great pick. To be honest with you, it's hard, right? I mean, Cilic can lose 0-0 in the first match and that could take care of that. But at the same time, you know that he can beat Murray pretty handily too. So it's always very curious to see how Cilic will come out, if he'll be relaxed, which he should be, and swing for the fences. I think it could happen. Just hearing you talk and thinking about Stan, I think that Stan is going to be the man here.
Yes.
And I think it's going to be Murray and Wawrinka going through, and only because maybe, just maybe, Wawrinka can gain enough rhythm right from the start, and maybe he's just going to step it up, and he does have a tendency to play bigger in the big moments. And I think he probably thinks he's one of the best four players in the world, and I think he thinks he deserves to be in the semifinal. And maybe that's good enough to get through. But like you said, the second guy, I have no idea. So I'm going to go with Murray and Wawrinka.
Yeah, that's always, I think anything you choose there is going to be pretty viable. So those are good ones. Now moving into the next one, into the Yvonne Lendl group, you definitely have to go with, for me, Djokovic. Even though he's, you know, it's a lot of question marks going to be arising for him. Like, is he going to defend here? Because we're not talking about the biggest picture here, Parsa. We're talking about the world number one ranking, right? So I think it's pretty simple, because Murray's going to have some points coming off from the Davis Cup title last year. I think he has about 140 points that he loses. So that's all, you have to also throw that into the pot here. But if he can win this tournament, do better than Joker, I think he finishes the year number one. So, you know, Djokovic still has a very good chance of ending the year number one, depending on what his motivation is. I think his motivation is going to be high, even though his game is not where it necessarily needs to be. And I think his group helps him out a lot, because you have Milos, who can be dangerous, but how healthy is he going to be? I mean, this guy has a tear in his quad right now. I don't think it really necessarily got that much better in 5 or 6 days' time. You know what I mean? Can he still bomb some serves? Absolutely, but I don't know how good his movement is going to be. He's definitely going to give his first match a shot. And then a guy like Monfils or Thiem are going to, you know, move him around there, even a guy like Joker. So it's going to be interesting to see how he holds up. And then you have a guy like Thiem, who has looked pretty spent now for the second half of the season after he completely burned himself out, you know, throughout the first 5 or 6 months going through the clay court season, even up until Wimbledon where he won a grass court tune-up. He's just, you know, really lucky to be here. I mean, he has the fewest point totals of anybody since 2011 when Marty Fish qualified. So he's, but he, listen, I mean, he's still there and he's done enough to be one of the final eight guys, and it's a great thing on his CV. But you look at it like, you know, you got Djokovic and you got three guys who have never won a slam. Milos might not even finish the tournament. I don't know. I think the alternate after Milos is Berdych. And I think Berdych is on vacation now with his wife. So I don't know if he's going to even show up. I think after him, it's Goffin. So maybe you're going to see Berdych or Goffin, you know, fly in here and substitute. So I think as it stands right now, with the uncertainty with Milos and the burnout factor with team, I'm going to go with Djokovic and Gael Monfils to make the final four. What do you have?
I mean, I couldn't agree with you more there. I mean, between those are the two guys that keep the ball in the court the most, that are going to be the most electric, that are going to stand up to the crowd. They're going to feed off that energy, and I think there's motivation for Djokovic, and there's also motivation for Monfils to continue his great season and his renaissance at his older age of really fulfilling his talent and his destiny to be a great tennis player. I think it's going to start here for him, and I think it's going to, the tournament's really going to start in the semis for me. So I follow you there, and Djokovic and Monfils it is for me.
And, you know, before we get into, you know, who we're going to pick from there on in, because this is a little bit of a different format, let's head back to the John McEnroe group. What match are you looking forward to the most there? So you got Murray,
yeah,
Nishikori.
I'm definitely looking forward to Murray and Stan. I think that,
yes,
that's just going to be a fun one.
Exactly.
And something that I think is going to be some cat and mouse going on there.
Yeah, and I mean, this is, you know, you look at a lot of these guys, and, you know, apart from like a Djokovic, a little bit Murray, they haven't played each other too often this year. And when you look at, you know, you look at a guy like Stan, he hasn't beat too many top five guys in 2016, so you're going to get a bunch of them now right in a row here. Everybody's top eight. So I think that, you know, you definitely have a scenario where I think Stan's really going to be up for that one, as is Murray. So anything can happen. There could even go three. It's going to be a lot of heavy hitting, but you just got to think that Murray, with his consistency, will just be able to maybe, you know, outgrind, you know, the firepower of Stan. But, you know, as we know, Stan's got one of the best three combinations in the game, and he can just, you know, roll through pretty much anybody. So for me, I'm going to also go with Stan there. Parsa, how about the Yvonne Lendl group? What's your top match in that one?
Definitely for Monfils and Djokovic, just because I think it's going to be fun. And I think they're both played to the crowd, and I think they'll both really enjoy it.
Yeah. And I think definitely, I mean, look, if Milos can stay healthy, there could be some dynamics there. Like, but the thing is, Djokovic just plays Milos so well. You know what I mean? Just blocks his serve back, and once you can get a serve back, it's like with any really big server, you know, it's just even playing field. And then if you're a more solid, quicker, nimble guy, you're going to win most of those baseline battles, right? It just comes down to tennis is such an interesting sport where ground strokes really get thrown out of the equation when you're talking about returns and serves, which are the two biggest shots in the game, right? If you can return serve well, and if you can serve well, then, you know, you can get through. So now, Parsa, who do you have finishing one in the McEnroe group, followed by the second player?
For me, it's you know, these are so difficult to choose, but I will go straight forward and say that Murray's going to end up, you know, winning the most sets, but I think he'll be 2-1. And the number one seed.
Yeah, I'm
and
gonna.
I think Stan will go, and he'll be the number two seed.
For me, I'm gonna go with Murray finishing 3-0, and I'm going with Cilic finishing 2-1, and so it's gonna be one for Murray and two for Cilic, And then in the Yvonne Lendl group, I'm having Djokovic finishing 2-1 and Monfils finishing 2-1, both of them advancing. But with Djokovic maybe winning, however it works, like if you win more sets or more games, I guess you can finish at the top spot, right? So I think you're going to go Djokovic 1 and then Monfils 2, and then I guess it crisscrosses, right? Then Murray would face Monfils, Cilic would face Djokovic. And I don't necessarily know if you're going to see Novak. I mean, we want to all see Novak and Murray face in the finals, right? I think Cilic will pose a challenge for Djokovic as he did in Paris. But I still think Joker can get through, and you're going to have Murray get through Monfils. You're going to have a Murray-Djokovic final, and that's going to be interesting for me. And I think Djokovic can win that match, to be honest with you. I think if it goes down, but based on current form, you got to go with Murray to win this and win his fifth title in a row and finish the year number one. What are your ending thoughts on that?
I'm going to have Djokovic as my one in the Lendl group, and I'm going to have Monfils as the two. And I'm going to have Stan Wawrinka playing Djokovic in the first semi, and I think Stan comes through. And by that point, if he gets there, he's going to be in form, and I think he poses the biggest threat to Djokovic. And I think Murray's going to pretty comfortably take out Monfils, and I think it's going to be a rematch of the round-robin match, Stan versus Murray. And I think Murray's going to win the first time, and I think Stan's going to win the second time, and I'm going to have Stan winning this thing.
Yeah, I like that pick. It's like kind of my U.S. Open pick, so brings back good memories for me from the summer.
Except I'm not doing it in January. Other than that,
yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah. We'll give you a chance, and when we fire up the Australian Open one, you can give me some predictions there.
Yeah, okay. But by that token, I mean, Stan could also be in the Maldives by like the fourth day of the tournament. I mean,
yeah.
So, I mean, who knows?
Yeah, yeah.
The year-end mindset is we just don't know. We're not on the ground with the guys and have real no concept of where they're at and what they're going to be doing. So
yeah, because we've also had a lot of dive years where these matches have been terrible. Guys have just been blown out, which is very surprising because you have guys who are all top 8 players in the world. You're expecting, I mean, at least competitive sets. You know what I mean? And you know, just one other quick note here, Parsa. Guy who's missing, we know Fed has been injured, Nadal is recovering. David Ferrer is not in this tournament for the first time in a pretty long time, Parsa. Same with a guy like Burdick, who have been, you know, staples in this event. You know, Ferrer is not a top 20 player anymore, which is, for me, something very interesting to see because we've seen him now for years be at the top of the game. And, you know, he's never winning these big tournaments, but he's there grinding away. He's won $30 million in prize money. He's 25, 26 tour titles. Just, you know, such a solid guy, such a solid player. And then a guy like Burdick, you know, semis, finals, quarters, every single week. And, you know, he had that appendicitis. And I think if he didn't have that issue prior to the U.S. Open, then he probably would have been here, realistically speaking. He probably makes at least a fourth round, maybe quarters U.S. Open. That would have given him enough points to at least been the eighth guy in this field. So, unfortunately, that didn't happen for Thomas. But some changing times. And, you know, again, you want to see guys make this event who deserve it. And, obviously, Rafa did. He's still seventh in the race. And he's not here, obviously. He pulled the ripcord. But I'm hopeful that next year we're going to have, you know, some even fresher faces. We have guys like Thiem and Monfils, and this year, you know, Thiem's still a very young guy. You think that, you know, he's going to be around for the next few years, but, you know, a guy like Alex Zverev and maybe Jack Sock next year or Nick Kyrgios can also, you know, plow through and do some damage. So, yeah, those are basically my thoughts, Parsa. You have anything, you know, closing to say before we wrap up this week's show?
I mean, not much other than Jack Sock's going to beat Isner if we want to see him here at the end. I mean, there's got to be a change. I think in order to get some young guns in here, you know, I'm not sure next year is the year. But what I would like to see, if this is fair, and I think it is that I'd like to see the best A players in the world. How about that?
Yeah, and that's really what it's going to come down to. And let's be honest, that's not necessarily the case this year. And I'm not even...
You said the Elite Eight, and I was like, well, it's kind of really the Elite 11 or so.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because at the bottom line is that Nadal is not in this tournament, and for that reason and that reason only, you know, team is in this tournament. If Nadal said, listen, I'll see you guys, I just booked my ticket, see you in a couple of weeks, you know, he would be playing this. And obviously he needs to recover and get his wrist at where he needs to be, you know, for the Australian Open. He's already said he's coming back. It's interesting, though, because you see all of these guys and they're playing IPTL. Federer's coming, you know, Federer's going to be playing, Nadal's going to be playing. So obviously they're getting seven figures for showing up there. That's not sugarcoated. It's definitely for the money. It's not for match play or anything like that. It's 100% because they want to get that money and the exposure or whatever you want to call it. But
Nima, would you take it? If someone's going to be like, hey, Nima, I'm going to pay you $1 million.
Might be more than that. It might, you know, if you're Roger Federer, are you only getting $1 million? Because I know a guy like Tsonga's probably getting easily, you know, mid six figures for doing that, right? So, yeah, of course I would do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, what, you know what I mean? Because it's not that money talks, but, you know, this is a business. These guys, this is their job, right? Why, like, Roger Federer has done enough in his career. The guy is an absolute icon and a legend. And, of course, I mean, he plays anywhere. I don't care what he's ranked. People are going to come and watch him play, right? So same, Rafa's very close to that, too. So, you know, for sure, you know, you're going to sell tickets. You want the best guys, the most popular players in the world, right? He's going to sell more tickets than Djokovic. I don't care if Djokovic is 1-2 in the world. Same with Murray, right? So, absolutely, I would do it. And if I'm healthy enough, and he hasn't played since Wimbledon. So, you got to think that if he's getting on the mend, you know, he said, actually, in a recent interview, Fed, that, you know, he's feeling good and his knee's feeling much better than it has in a while. So, that's great news to hear. And I hope he really gives it a go. He's got a couple more months. You know, Parsons, we don't talk about this because we're still in 2016, but the Australian Open is 2 months away, basically, more or less, right?
Just
a little over 2 months. And one of my favorite tournaments of the year because, you know, goes into the night and, you know, really captivates, you know, audiences that want to stay up, especially on the Eastern time zone, that want to stay up through the night and, you know, watch tennis. And it's just some really, you know, good matches. Everybody's ready to go. It's the beginning of the year. First big sporting event, period, at the beginning of every year. So really looking forward to that. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But Parson and I will be back in about 9 days' time to review this event next Sunday, which is, this is an 8-day tournament. Parson goes Sunday to Sunday. So make sure everybody get locked in on your TV. Hopefully you're down there with top-notch tennis tours with some packages, you know, checking out all of the action, as well as anybody looking to get down to the Australian Open, make sure to hit up Grand Slam Tennis Tours for all your ticket and traveling needs. Finally, Parsa, thank you so much for joining us this week.
Thank you.
As well, for everybody out there, make sure to download this podcast on iTunes. It soon will be up on SoundCloud as well, so you can check us out there for the new season. In the meantime, make sure to hit up Parsa at ParsaSammy, myself at Tennis Connected. Make sure to hit up and follow Tennis Connected on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We love chatting with you guys. Make sure to hit us up on Twitter if you have any questions. You can also email us at Tennis Connected, and we will chat with you next Sunday. Be good, enjoy the World Tour Finals, and we'll talk soon. Bye. We'll be right back.